going on? Happy Sunday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Craig Sandlin from Chatterbox Reds live on YouTube from Saturday afternoon. But first, let's tell you everything that went down. Reds taking on the White Sox in a great pitching matchup on the south side of Chicago. White Sox ace Garrett Crochet going up against Nick Lodolo, making his first start since May 6th, 2023. Crochet, he was outstanding in the first inning, looked electric, struck out the side of Jonathan India, Spencer Steer, and Christian Encarnacion Strand. Nick Lodolo did his best to match it in the bottom of the first. He went 1-2-3, striking out two batters himself. Reds did all their damage in this one in the top of the second. Jamer Candelario ripped a leadoff double down the left field line. Stuart Fairchild then singled to left field, putting runners on the corners. Ellie De La Cruz struck out, but Stuart Fairchild stole second base, and then Santiago Espinal walked to load the bases. And then Luke Maley singled to left field, putting the Reds up 2-0. After Bubba Thompson struck out, India walked, and Spencer Steer smoked a double down the line, 107 off the bat, clearing the bases and putting the Reds up 5-0. And it was a good thing the Reds got to Garrett Crochet in the second, because he was outstanding the rest of the way. Didn't give up a hit the rest of the day. Ended up striking out 10 Reds over 4 2/3 innings. But none of that mattered, because Nick Lodolo took a no-hitter into the sixth inning in his return. He was just spectacular on the day. He did also get the help of his defense. Stuart Fairchild made a diving catch that had a catch probability of 8%. Spencer Steer, he topped that with a sliding catch with a catch probability of just 7%. But Nick Lodolo's final line on the afternoon, 5 2/3 innings, just gave up one hit, no runs, of course, one walk, and struck out 10. Fernando Cruz came into the next out of the bullpen. He was outstanding, retired all four batters that he faced, striking out 3. And then Brett Suter threw 2 shutout innings to wrap up a 5-0 win. And get this, the Reds got their first ever win in Chicago against the White Sox. Here's what Nick Lodolo had to say about his season debut.
You know, I was anxious to get out there, for sure. But, you know, I settled in there pretty good. And then just, you know, I just had to keep going. You know, it's been a minute since I've been in competing like that and stuff like that. So, you know, you forget some things along the way just to keep yourself in it and keep going.
How much were you working on adrenaline, and how much was that under control as you were able to do what you wanted
there?
To do?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had a little more adrenaline than normal, but nothing crazy. Honestly, my start in spring training, my first one, adrenaline was through the roof. But no, like I said, I was just anxious to get out there today. You know, it's been a minute, so it felt good to be back.
You knew you had a no-hitter there, right, going into the sixth?
Yeah, I did, but, you know, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even the slightest bit worried about it, because I knew I was not going all nine unless there was just no way. So, and like I said, at the end of the day, that's just something that happens off of, like, just making good pitches and stuff that, like I said, I just wasn't even worried about it. I was just like, I just got to keep going as long as I can. That's really what I was worried about.
Your curveball seemed like it was doing what it always does. It was coming in on the back foot of guys. Is that exactly how you wanted it to look today?
Yeah. You know, my last start, I didn't have the best feel for it, so I worked on it a little bit this week. I was happy with it. You know, it definitely did its thing. I got a couple guys with it. You know, at the end of the day, that's not what I'm trying to do, but it's the nature of the pitch, you know, and, no, overall though, I was pleased with it. So it was good.
Given the adrenaline, I looked at one point, you had thrown 2/3 of your pitches for strikes. Were you surprised at, how much you were able to pound the zone given kind of the whole situation?
Not really, honestly, you know, that's my main key, is just to go out there and just fill up the zone, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going up there thinking the guy gets the play to strike him out or anything. I'm just literally trying to make good pitches. So, like I said, good things happen from a result of that. So I think that's why I was in the zone a lot.
What can you say about the defense behind you? Obviously, you got a couple of great catches behind you, and then Bubba made that great catch on Maldonado in the eighth after you left. I mean, how about the offensive defense?
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, the play Stu made was great. It allowed me to keep staying in rhythm and keep going. it was unbelievable. And then even the last one there, Steer made a good little slide and catch. I didn't see Bubba's. I was out here, but, you know, that it's going to take things like that to keep some ball games and stuff. So, you know, I couldn't be more thankful for those guys, you know.
And here's Reds manager, David Bell.
Expected much more than you got from Lodolo today.
No, I mean, that was, first, it was just so great to have him back out. It's been almost a year, and everything Nick has gone through, he just couldn't have handled it any better. I mean, all along the way, he still found a way to be a great teammate, and, you know, he knew he was going to come back, but it can be a long road. So going out to the mound, and when he knew he was done, and seeing the smile that he had on his face kind of speaks to, you know, how we all felt about it today, just to have one of our teammates back out there competing. But I mean, today was about as good as you can do, especially your first time out. But I mean, he looked, you could tell all the work that he's been doing, it paid off. Started with the fastball, had both breaking balls working, good changeup. I mean, he had a lot of different ways to get out and make it a really uncomfortable at bat. Great to see him back out there.
If he's even as close as what we saw today going forward, how big can this be going forward on this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a part of this all along, but we want him out there doing what he loves to do. So, yeah, I mean, that we've all known that. If we can, you know, if he can just be out there, he's very talented. He loves what he does. He loves to compete, and he just can kind of go out and be himself. So he's done everything he needs to do to stay healthy, and it'd be great now if he can catch some breaks and stay on the mound.
Outfield defense today, pretty impressive.
Great plays, you know, starting with Stewart. Just thought he had no chance off the bat, and he just continued to track it and do everything he could to make that play. Spencer, a sneaky, tough play. Hard hit ball, sinking line drive, and then Bubba. It was just great for Bubba to be able to make a big contribution to the game today, because you know, in that role, to be able to really contribute. Yeah. Thank you. Contribute to a win is it's huge. You know, it can kind of keep him going. You know, till the next time he's out there.
Well, our deep drive of the game in this one was Spencer Steer's 3-RBI double in the second inning, 201 feet, 107 off the bat, and our deep drive of the game sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, let's check out scores around the NL Central. The Pirates lost 4-3 to the Phillies. Aroldis Chapman blew a save in this one. Pirates, as good of a start as they've had, they've blown a lot of late leads already this season. The Brewers, they beat up on the Orioles 11-5. The Brewers won a series in Baltimore, certainly not an easy accomplishment in recent memory. And the Brewers have scored 22 runs in the first two games of that series. Cardinals lost 4-3 to the Diamondbacks, and the Cubs won 4-1 over the Mariners. So, NL Central sits as following. On Sunday morning, Brewers are 10-3, Pirates 10-5, Reds and Cubs both 8-6, Cardinals are 7-8, and it's early, but if the playoffs started today, four teams from the NL Central would be in, and they don't even need a tiebreaker to get in. They would all just legitimately be in at this moment. All right. Well, here's myself and Craig Sandlin on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube from Saturday afternoon. Stick around at the end, and I'll recap all the Reds minor league action from Saturday night. All right. What's going on? Welcome into Chatterbox Reds Live post-game show. Nick Kirby here with Craig Sandlin on a 5-0 win for your Cincinnati Reds on Saturday afternoon in the return of Nick Lodolo. Craig, how are we feeling, brother?
We're feeling great, man. Nick Lodolo looked amazing. The defense looked improved today. All around, happy Saturday. Happy Saturday to the chat. Happy Sunday morning to those listening. Hope you had a great start to your weekend.
All right, Craig. Well, we'll start with Nick Lodolo. I think that's probably the best place to start. What'd you think about his first start in nearly a year?
I mean, I thought he looked incredible. First of all, I thought he had control. I know he ended up hitting two batters and walking one. But just watching his control throughout the game, it felt like he was able to put the pitches where he wanted to a majority of the time. He was painting corners. He was dropping pitches in. And I got to be honest, that curveball, especially down and into righties, is nasty. They mentioned it on the broadcast specifically, but, you know, I think he leads the league in curveballs that are swung on that actually end up hitting the batter. He got another one today where swing and a miss on a strikeout that ended up hitting the batter. Final line, like you mentioned, 5 2/3 innings, one hit, no runs, one walk, two hit by pitches, that 10 strikeouts and 91 pitches. And I thought that was interesting too, Nick, coming into it. He threw 65-ish pitches in his last rehab start. And coming in today, wasn't sure exactly what his pitch count was going to be. We knew he wasn't going to be able to be super stretched out, but he ended up throwing 91 pitches. I thought that was a really good sign out of him as well. And he got a lot of swings and misses. I think 40% of the swings ended up on whiffs, including 9 of them on his curveball. So, I mean, I think if you can get Lodolo back and he can pitch like this, and you've got a top of the rotation with Lodolo, Montas, and Green, that's going to be a really competitive ball team or ball club for the rest of this year.
Yeah, good point about Lodolo coming back out in the sixth. I don't think it had anything to do whatsoever with the fact that he had a no-hitter. Obviously, he wasn't going to finish the game. But I think that kind of shows where the Reds feel about where he's at. I think if they were kind of like, well, it's, you know, don't break the glass type thing, they wouldn't have sent him back out in the sixth inning. So I think that was a really positive sign. As you mentioned, look, the White Sox stink. They're an atrocious baseball team. But he only gave up 2 hard-hit balls in the day. Love that he only walked one guy. This was a tailor-made perfect start for Nick Lodolo to make his return, but he couldn't have done any better than he did today. And there's no question whatsoever in my mind that Nick Lodolo is a good pitcher. I feel pretty confident. I feel pretty confident he's a great pitcher. It's just, can he stay healthy? So, like, seriously, I tweeted out, I can't say it enough. When you lay your head down at night every night, just say a prayer this young man can stay healthy. Because if he stays healthy, the ceiling of this team, it just goes up so much higher. He's my game one starter. If the playoffs were tomorrow, I'd be starting him in game one. I wouldn't even hesitate. He's by far the Reds' best pitcher right now. I think Hunter Green still has a higher ceiling, but there's no way he's even close to where Nick Lodolo is at. I think Nick Lodolo is better than Frankie Montas too, but it's just a matter of can he stay healthy. Looked good today. We'll just hope and pray that he can continue to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, if Nick Lodolo can return to 2022 form or stay like he did today, obviously, I think there's no question in my mind that he's your game one starter in a playoff series if you make it that way. The way too early conversation is that you're going to have an amazing competition next spring for who's going to be your opening day starter in 2025. With Lodolo, Montas, and Green all battling for that spot. Obviously, Montas earned it this year. But, I mean, yeah, if you can keep Montas and you got those three guys competing for an opening day start next year, I mean, that's got to feel good as a program looking forward. I mean, Nick Lodolo in 2022 ended the year with 19 starts, 3.66 ERA and 103 innings pitched. Obviously last year, not as good numbers, but I think he was injured a majority of it. Certainly wasn't feeling 100%. So if he is 100%, which the Reds seem to think he is, and he is throwing the way he is, I mean, that's a good sign. Now it becomes a question of, can he be a 200 inning a year guy for you? What is the realistic expectation for Nick Lodolo and this ball club moving forward? Certainly would like to see him get 30, 35 starts if he can stay healthy. But, you know, at the end of the day, his injuries have historically been wear and tear injuries, not acute injuries. And so you've got to do everything you can to make sure that his body is prepared to stay healthy. And that'll be the main question with Nick Lodolo, most likely for the rest of his career, but certainly for the next year or two, is will he stay healthy?
Yeah. And something that's really easy to gloss over in a game that was 5-0, felt like it was decided pretty well early, is the job that the bullpen did. And Fernando Cruz, man, this guy looks outstanding. Fired all four batters today, struck out three. He had that one outing where he walked three batters. He still wasn't even that bad. He only gave up one run and somehow limited the damage in that outing. But this guy, since he really figured it out last year after he got sent down and came back up, he's been maybe the Reds' best reliever. Now, I'm not saying like he needs to be like the number one go-to guy yet. I don't think he's proven it that. But he might be the Reds' overall best reliever right now, and he's just such an incredible weapon for the Reds. And then Brent Suter, said it many times, just love that he can throw him out there. He can throw 40 pitches like he did today. He can give you that length. That was something that was so desperately needed last year that the Reds just didn't get, other than when they used starters like Ben Lively in more bulk roles. But a lot of the innings that Ben Lively ate were on days where they did either a bullpen game or they had a starter that didn't go very deep. But having a guy that can be a traditional reliever and give you some innings, I think that's really, really important. What did you think about Cruz and Suter today?
I thought Cruz looked great. Cruz has looked great all year, with like the exception of the one outing that you talked about. On the year now, he's up to 6 2/3 innings pitched. He's only given up one hit in those 6 2/3 innings. We talked about it in the offseason. I actually think that the Reds have the ability, should they decide to go with almost a closer by committee situation this year, with guys like Cruz and obviously Diaz, and even a guy like Suter who can come in and has shown time and time again the ability to get outs. Today he comes in two innings. You know, he's a guy that is super valuable in a bullpen where you can go to him in high pressure situations, but you can also go to him and get some innings out of him if needed as well. You know, he struck out 2 2 innings today, gave up the one hit, the two walks. But I do agree with you that Fernando Cruz, especially over the last 6 months or of baseball at least, has really looked like the best reliever out of this bullpen. And again, I said it during our Reds preview show this offseason, I would not be surprised at all to see him getting save opportunities this year.
Yeah, absolutely. The Reds defense, it's been the thing that I think is worth the most criticism up to this point, the most valid criticism. They were outstanding today. Stuart Fairchild, a guy that I've always believed in defensively, made a great catch. Spencer Steer, a guy that I have not believed in, made an even better catch. Bubba Thompson made a great catch. Ellie De La Cruz had that incredible play that looked like it was a catch. It ended up being a bizarre play that it thought for a second the White Sox were scoring a run on. But nonetheless, Ellie's looking way more comfortable out there. This is not a good defensive team. Let's not overreact to one game. But it hasn't just been one game. It has been the last several games. They've looked better overall. They've at least cleaned up some of the mental errors, and they have a couple guys making nice plays. That's good to see.
Well, and if you're Nick Lodolo and you're getting defensive plays behind you like you got early on with Stuart Fairchild in the fourth, and then obviously you got it again from Steer in the sixth, that gives you confidence as a pitcher to be able to continue to throw strikes. So not only is it important for today and with Nick Lodolo and what the defense was able to do behind him, but moving forward, as this team continues to improve, if they can continue to show out the way they have defensively, it's going to give those pitchers a lot more confidence to be able to throw the ball in the strike zone and not have to force strikeouts and chases by the offense on the other end. You mentioned it. I mean, really five different plays that stood out defensively. I thought personally that the Fairchild catch was actually better than the Steer catch. We can have that debate if you really want to. But that Fairchild full extension diving catch in the fourth was incredible to me. He's obviously shown the ability to be a high-level defensive outfielder, and coupling that with the offensive output he's been able to give so far this year is shown that it's been extremely valuable. And then again, the play by Ellie at the end of the game, charging in on that soft ground ball, being able to make that throw, some of those, you know, high effort but somewhat routine plays have kind of caused him some difficulty in the past, and so it was nice to see him make that. I mentioned it to you in text message over the last couple of days. Watching Ellie defensively, it feels like he's made some changes to his approach, specifically his arm angle. Obviously not on that last play because he had to rush it and was throwing from, you know, bent over, but he seems to be throwing over the top a lot more over the last couple of games. For those in the chat, I'd encourage you to pay attention to that and see what it looks like, because there were some plays early on this year where it looked like he was kind of lackadaisical with his throws. He was dropping his arm angle, you know, down to his hip seemingly. And over the last couple of games, it seems like he's coming up, bringing the ball by his ear and firing it over to first base. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues for Ellie. And he could be a huge asset defensively, as we've seen. His range is insane, and his arm is insane to go with it. So if he can control it and work on the transfer, he's going to get back to the point where he was in the minor leagues, where everybody was excited about his defense.
Yeah, I fully believe in Ellie De La Cruz's ability to play defense. I think he's learning now on at the major league level some of the things you could get away with in the minor leagues. You can't get away up here. If you do make a flashy play that fails in the minors, people don't talk about it, right? You do it in the big leagues, it's all over everywhere. It's all over the world. So he's learning. He's going to continue to improve and get better, but he just seems to be playing with a overabundance of confidence right now. And I think he's a player that really, more than a lot of other players, is going to feed off of that confidence. It's going to help elevate him to another level. So just great to see Ellie playing good baseball. One guy that is playing good baseball, Spencer Steer. He's got an OPS just 3 points shy of 1,200. Another just huge hit. I mean, this is a guy that I think is one of the, you know, inning per inning, kind of just like Nick Lodolo, because he's not a guy that's fully stretched out, and Garrett Crochet. He's one of the better pitchers in baseball. Steer to put a really good swing, absolutely crush a ball off him. This is a guy in Garrett Crochet that only gave up 3 hard hit balls the whole day. That was a big time swing in this game. Really just put a lot of distance. And when you're going into Chicago, a team that stinks, but this is a team. I haven't mentioned it yet. This is the first time the Reds have ever won a series in Chicago against the White Sox. Ever. Never happened before. So shout out to that. But Spencer Steer, Craig, I mean, this guy, he's just off to a unbelievable start. I don't think he's able to keep it up at this level, but the idiots like me who said that they thought he might regress, feeling pretty dumb right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that anybody's feeling dumb. I don't know that anybody came into it expecting Spencer Steer to be performing the way he has so far this year. You mentioned it, an OPS of 1.197. I mean, not only is he getting on base and being productive, but he's smashing the ball when he does. His batting average now sitting at 367. I'll go ahead and take accountability now. I know we're 14 games into the season or whatever. When we did our Reds preview game or show, the line that we projected for Spencer Steer was an OPS plus of 112. And you and I both took the under on that. So not to get ahead of ourselves, we still have 90%+ of the season to go. But, you know, 18 RBIs in your first 14 games, the most by a Red since 1962. You had another 3 today. I mean, he is – everybody will argue about where he should bat in the lineup. But no matter where you put it, he's producing. He's produced in the 2-hole. He's produced in the 4-hole. He's produced in the 7-hole. Like, he's just a guy that just plays ball, right? And it's a similar reason that I think Trace loves Matt McClain, where it's just like, it doesn't matter where you put him and what do you do. Like, he's just a ball player. And he's shown this year that he can take that to the next level. And, you know, it's really nice to have. And I'm a big proponent. I know a lot of people in the chat will hate me here. I love batting him behind Ellie. I think giving Ellie protection at the end of the order is really valuable. And when you have a guy who's smashing the ball, batting after him, you're bound to go after Ellie and try and get him to get out. And so it's going to lead to Ellie getting better pitches, which is then going to lead to Steer having more opportunities to drive in runs. And that 1-2 punch seems like a good opportunity for the Reds to kind of build around as they build their lineups each day.
Spencer Steer goes 1-for-3 with a double today. His OPS actually dropped 3 points, Craig. I think that means you're playing pretty well. And yeah, my predictions, I mean, it's a tough scene all around, because Steer was the one guy I was probably the most bold on saying I think he'd progress a little bit. The other guy was Matt McClain, and like, there's no like, what do you do for that? Like, he got hurt. So, yeah, hopefully Ellie. I was really high on Ellie, so let's keep it up, Ellie. You can save me at the end of the year. All right, we got a couple more topics we'll get to, but before we do that, we're gonna talk to you about the Game Time app. Reds are gonna be back in town next weekend, and you need to head down to the ballpark. This is a fun, exciting team. You might be able to catch Nick Lodolo pitch in person, and be sure to use the Game Time app for that. The Game Time app is just the best and easiest way to find tickets. They have all-in pricing, so you can see exactly how much you're going to pay before you go into the checkout. You don't have to click through everything. I love the seat view, the seat layout. You can really see every section with the prices and easy to compare. And with our promo code Cincy, if you're a first-time user, you can get $20 off your first purchase. That's Cincy, C-I-N-C-Y. So download the Game Time app today. Use that promo code Cincy and get yourself $20 off your first purchase. They have tickets for everything too, FC Cincinnati, all the concerts in town, and all that kind of stuff. So be sure to check out the Game Time app. And thanks to Game Time for sponsoring Chatterbox Reds. All right, Luke Maley, another big hit. He's just, I've said it so many times. When you do these every day, I feel like I say the same things over and over. I guess it kind of is what it is. You're probably going to have to expect it at some point. But Luke Maley, he's just the absolute perfect backup catcher. Like, he's everything you want. Tyler Stevenson's playing well as well. So it's just a really nice compliment. And the one thing I've really liked that I've heard a little bit lately is I've heard several interviews with Tyler Stevenson. And Tyler Stevenson has been giving Luke Maley, a guy that he's competing with for playing time, he's given him a lot of praise on how he helped him prepare to catch Andrew Abbott. So Maley, I think, is more so than being a solid player that is a good hitter for a catcher, at least an okay hitter for a catcher, catches a great game. He also, I think, is really helping out Tyler Stevenson learning on the job as well.
Yeah, that was something that we talked about during the offseason a lot was, you know, this was an uninformed opinion on my end, obviously, but I felt like the Reds needed to go out and add a veteran catcher, not only for the value of just having a good backup, but for that mentorship that I thought Tyler Stevenson needed, but I also thought that this young rotation was going to benefit from. Instead, they go out and they sign Frankie Montas, who obviously has served as a mentor for the pitching staff. We saw that after his latest start, where he comes out and he's still spending time with the other starting pitchers, talking about what he saw, talking about what happened. And then obviously Tyler Stevenson has been giving praise to Luke Maley, and Luke Maley has really provided pretty well in those opportunities that he's had. Today was his fifth start of the year. You know, what a luxury it is for the Reds to get production out of their catcher position this year, because over the last, you know, couple of years, it certainly has felt like, especially last year, that there was some, you know, difficulty in the catcher position. And it was a position that I think a lot of people thought the Reds would need to address in this offseason. The Reds clearly had confidence in what they had in that room by re-signing Luke Maley. And then obviously Tyler Stevenson has gotten a number of starts this year, I think nine, and has produced in those spots. So, you know, Luke Maley 1-for-3 today with a run and two RBIs. He hit the ball hard twice. He got robbed of a hit his last time up. You know, I thought he played really well, and I thought he's played pretty well in all of his starts, quite frankly. And so having that mentor for Tyler Stevenson probably is playing into the reason why Tyler Stevenson is having the kind of year that he's having so far as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Maley's playing well. Reds are playing well. Be nice to get a sweep tomorrow against the Chicago White Sox. Craig, any other final thoughts on this game today before I move into some quick Reds MILB talk and then look at tomorrow's matchup?
No, I think the main takeaway here is, you know, the Reds showed the ability to hit Garrett Crochet, who's, you know, a left-handed hard-throwing pitcher, putting five runs on the board. Obviously it was all in one inning, but they, you know, scattered some other hits around, get some confidence going in. And quite frankly, this series is about doing what you're supposed to do, Nick. And that's pick up some W's against a team that's not that great. They come out, they get the two wins to start the series, go for the sweep tomorrow. And let's see if we can't build some momentum.
I think I might tweet out every time the White Sox win a series if the Reds pull off the sweep tomorrow.
I don't know that you'll be tweeting a whole lot, Nick.
No, they're going to win some. They're going to win some. Every team does. Of course, we have to mention that Ellie De La Cruz extended his on-base streak to 19 games. Might have got picked off, but we'll just ignore that part. But shout out to Ellie, 19 in a row. For a guy that has been wildly inconsistent, I think that's fair to say, he still has a 19-game on-base streak. So even his inconsistency is more consistent than maybe a lot of us think. So shout out to Ellie De La Cruz. All right, Reds going for the sweep tomorrow. Craig, 2:10 p.m., going up against Michael Soroka. Graham Ashcraft on the mound. Graham Ashcraft, he made his worst start of his career the last time he faced the White Sox. You might remember that one. That was a game the Reds lost 17-4 last year. Ashcraft didn't make it out of the second inning, gave up 8 earned runs in that one. It was just a tough game. But if you're looking for a positive, Benintendi, Andrew Vaughn, and Gavin Sheets were the only players that are actively on the White Sox that were actually in that lineup. I also remember this because this was the very first game I saw in spring training. Graham Ashcraft faced the White Sox this spring and actually got rocked as well. So hopefully Ashcraft can get some of that bad White Sox voodoo out of the way. Benintendi's 1-for-2 against him in his career. Paul DeJong, 1-for-2. Robbie Grossman, 0-for-3. Andrew Vaughn, 1-for-2 with a double. But Michael Soroka, this was a guy that was a former first-round pick with the Braves, really burst on the scene back in 2019 when he was an all-star, finished 6th in Cy Young, and was 2nd in Rookie of the Year. He tore his Achilles, and it kept him out of baseball the entire 2021 season, only made a handful of minor league games in 2022. He was acquired from the Braves this offseason, part of a big trade that several of the players you see on the White Sox came from. He had a great spring for the White Sox, 1.38 ERA in 13 innings, struck out 17, only walked 5. He only made one career start against the Reds, came back in 2019, one run over 5 2/3 innings, and only two Reds have ever saw Soroka. Candelario is 1-for-2, and Luke Maley is 1-for-2 with 2 RBIs against him. Before I get your thoughts on this, Craig, want to mention Elijah Evans, who we talked to before this series. When we were talking about the pitchers, he said Friday night, I'm losing the guy's name, Flexen. He said he did not feel good about Flexen, felt like Flexen's ERA was legit. It was earned. He said Mike Soroka, he felt like had a lot more tough luck. He felt a lot better about him and his potential to be a decent starter this year. It'd be really great to see the Reds come out and get a sweep tomorrow, Craig.
Yeah, it would be. And Michael Soroka is the kind of pitcher that the Reds have struggled with in the past. He's not up there throwing heat. He's throwing a lot of junk. Every single pitch that he throws is below league average in terms of velocity. He's going to be throwing probably, 80% junk, right? So sinker, slider, changeup, and they're all going to be kind of lower end. He is really a big ground ball pitcher as well, which has not necessarily been something that the Reds have been successful with. So it's an opportunity, yes, for a W, but it'll be interesting to see with Michael Soroka. I mean, I do agree that he's probably better than a 6.14 ERA. He's not going to strike out a whole lot of guys, but he is going to get a lot of ground balls, and it'll be interesting to see if those ground balls find holes or if they find mitts.
Yeah, and you'll see a completely different lineup than for the Reds. Will Benson, he'll be in the lineup. Jake Fraley will be in the lineup. I'd expect Nick Martini in the lineup. So much different lineup than the left-handed lineup they ran out today, but look, a great opportunity, and this is a big start for Graham Ashcraft. You know, I think Graham Ashcraft's spot is safe in the rotation right now, but I don't think he's as safe as, like, if he makes 4 or 5 bad starts in a row, the Reds, there would be some rumblings about, with a guy like Nick Martinez moving back into the rotation. They haven't really said what their plan is with that, but it's a big start for Graham Ashcraft. Be nice to see him, get the demons out against the White Sox, whatever they are. And look, if the Reds get a sweep, it just really, you get a sweep in these games. Like, you never expect to go into a series and get a sweep. Anyone who ever says you need to sweep this team is completely wrong. Like, you never should expect to sweep a team. However, when you have these opportunities, it can make up for later on when you lose a series to the Oakland A's or whoever else throughout the year, as baseball happens. So this just kind of gives you a little bit more flexibility down the line.
Yeah. I think personally, I like Graham Ashcraft. I think he's a little bit of a bulldog, right? Like when he's out there, you know that he's going to compete. And certainly his last time out against the Brewers wasn't his best outing. But he pitched okay against the Phillies earlier in the year. In that outing, six innings, only two earned runs that were both on home runs to Bryce Harper, if I remember correctly. You know, the Milwaukee Brewers outing, 5 2/3, 9 hits, 6 runs, 5 of them earned. So certainly looking for a rebound outing here out of Graham. But like I said, he's a little bit of a bulldog. So I think he'll be competitive and he'll be looking to bounce back just like we're looking for him to bounce back.
Yeah, and Ashcraft was pretty good the first like 4 innings against the Brewers. And then Reds had that huge lead and just
fell apart.
It's hard to know what happened exactly in that one. But yeah, overall, been really good outside of that last inning when the Reds had the big lead. So hopefully he can get it done tomorrow. All right, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action from Saturday. Start off at AAA. Louisville Bats fell 7-5 to Columbus. Bats now 6-8 on the season. Blake Dunn did not start for a third straight day. He did come into pinch run on Friday night, but that is it. No official word on Dunn, but appears to be some sort of injury with him. Rhys Hines was 1-for-4, did steal a base. Mike Ford 1-for-3, although he had 4 balls hit over 93 miles per hour. Ford has hit the ball really hard down at AAA. Hasn't had exactly the results that probably he wants. Connor Capel, he was 1-for-3 with a double, also stole a base. He's actually playing center field in this game. And Capel off to a great start, OPS over 1,200. Ian Jabeau, another rehab game for him. It was a tough one. He gave up 2 runs, including a homer in his inning of work. Last 2 outings down at AAA have not gone well for Jabeau. He's gave up 2 runs in each game and a homer each day. His velocity is down just about 1 mile per hour. One other note, Sam Moll, who was on a rehab assignment, they pulled him back. He was put back on the rehab assignment on Saturday. He did not pitch in the game on Saturday for Louisville, but he was officially started a rehab assignment. One other pitching note, Yosvar Zuleta, the really talented arm the Reds got off waivers from the Blue Jays. He threw 2 shutout innings, striking out 2. Zuleta's sinker topping out at 96.8 on Saturday. All right, AA, the Chattanooga Lookouts, they came into Saturday 0-5. They've had a ton of rainouts, so they played a doubleheader, and the Lookouts swept the doubleheader over the Tennessee Smokies. They won the first game 3-2, and the second game they won 3-0. Great pitching for the Lookouts. Sam Benschuster in game 1 threw 5 innings, gave up 2 runs, walked 1, and struck out 5. And then in game 2, Julian Aguiar, 5 shutout innings, only allowed 3 hits, didn't walk a batter, and struck out 4. Not a whole lot on the offensive side. Austin Callahan homered, and Matt Nelson was on base 4 times between the 2 games. High A, the Dayton Dragons, they lost 8-5 to Cedar Rapids. Dragons now 4-4 on the season, but Sal Stewart was 2-for-4 and hit his first home run of the season. Sal Stewart hitting .323. Cam Collier got the afternoon off, but Hector Rodriguez and Leo Balcazar, they were each 1-for-4, and both guys had a stolen base. Victor Acosta, he's off to a really rough start. He was 0-for-4. He's just 1-for-21 to start the season. That is an .048 batting average. Victor Acosta was the return for Brandon Drury from the Padres. All right, down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas, they won 2-0 over Palm Beach. Tortugas now 4-4 on the season. Great day for Carlos Sanchez. He was on base 3 times and stole a bag. Esmith Pineda was 1-for-3. Connor Burns was 2-for-3 with a double. Alfredo Duno and Ricardo Cabrera both did not play in this game. On the pitching side, lefty Adam Cerwinski, 4 shutout innings, just gave up 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He's up to 8 shutout innings to begin his career with the Daytona Tortugas. And then Adnir Loreno, really talented arm, 2 shutout innings himself. He did walk 2, but struck out 2, and he did not give up a hit. Well, thanks so much, as always, for listening to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all your support. If you've not subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that now. Also, be sure to subscribe to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, where we do live post-game shows after every game. Also have all kinds of other content for you. So Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. If you could, leave us a five-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. Haven't got a five-star review in a little while, so we could really use a couple. That really helps us out with the algorithm and all those kind of things. But more importantly, as we always say, tell a friend, tell a Reds fan about Chatterbox Reds. We would really appreciate that. Well, hope that you have a fantastic Sunday. Hopefully the Reds can pull off their first sweep of 2024. We will be live on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube on Sundays. We're typically doing that at 9 o'clock at night, spending Sunday afternoons with our family. Every other night, every other day, every other night, we do live immediate post-game reaction. But Sunday night will be 9 p.m. Hope to see you there. If we don't see you there, of course, this will be in your podcast feed early on Monday morning. Well, have a great day, and most importantly, go Reds.